Robot Building Supplies. They've got it and deliver. Robotbuildingsupplies.com.au.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Thanks for spending your day with me. Let's go back to your calls as promised. Straight back to your calls. 1-300-736-736. Tony in Altona North, your first out. Welcome to you, Tony.
Hi, Dwayne. Just bear with me. I've got a few things to say.
Yep.
Okay. First of all, we all know rugby union was dead in Australia before this crisis happened. Now, just a couple of more things. Now, I just want to level up the ledger here with Fitzsimons as, you know, having a crack at Trump. Now, I don't like to talk about politics, but everyone knows the mayor of New York said this, you know, this there was no problem here. Everyone knows that in Italy, one of the mayors of Florence in northern Italy, who was a leftist, had a Hug an Italian initiative, a Hug a Chinese initiative, and called, you know, the Italian government racist. And so did the Democrats in America. They called Trump a racist when he closed the borders to China. Now, and of course, none of these leftists ever criticised the leftist government in China for causing this. So just some balance. That's all, Dwayne. I appreciate you giving me the chance to speak. Thank you, Dwayne.
No, no worries. I won't cut anyone off on this program unless you say something that is so horrific it shouldn't go to air. But I don't want to get into politics. I think that the fact that I got Peter Fitzsimons on to talk in a general range of things, and I didn't want to cut him off as well. I'm interested to listen to his opinion sometimes, even if it's an opinion that I disagree with. 1-300-736-736, 1-300-736-736, because he does provoke thought, Peter Fitzsimons, even if, you know, some areas you agree with and some areas you don't. A couple of your texts have come through. If you want to join me on the phone, 1-300-736-736, the open line for Werribee, staying open to help Victorians through this at Werribee. Janan and Aid and the team, they're open for business, whether it be their showroom or their service department. So drop into Werribee and tell them we sent you. But jump on the line. Let's have a chat. 1-300-736-736. Got a little window of opportunity to talk to you and read out your speckled texts on 0433981116. Quite a few coming through about not only Peter Fitzsimons, but our previous caller before that, John, one from Steve saying, how's John, kind of guy that could find a problem for every solution? Thanks for that, Steve. Dwayne, you've been punked by the Anti-Football League. Bring the games back ASAP. We all need some cheering up. Another through saying, I'd definitely watch my side if footy comes back without crowds. There's a lot of us talking about crowds coming back and crowds not coming back and whether you'd watch footy without crowds. Another text coming through that caller previously was wrong on all counts as well. So there's a big argument coming, political argument coming, that I certainly don't want to be adding some fuel to because it's not the kind of fire I like. Mark Viduka is one of those topics that has added a little bit of fuel to a fire. He's talked about an issue with Lucas Neal and the 2007 Asian Cup on ESPN this morning. Daniel Garb, soccer guru, has been good enough to give us some of his time to explain this to me because I didn't see it coming and I'm still not sure where it's going to end up. Here's Mark Viduka on Lucas Neal firstly.
I think some people came to that Asian Cup thinking more about themselves than they did about the national team.
Why?
Why? Because there's people who value themselves very highly and think about more about their television rights and deals and all that than actually playing for their country. That was the main reason. That was the main reason I stopped playing for the national team. My problem was that my generation of players that I grew up with were a different breed of the newer generation, you know, and to be honest, I wasn't a big fan of the newer generation of players. You know, a lot of them were more interested in their, you know, how many deals they were having on the side, you know, through sponsorship and all that sort of stuff, and you know, getting their heads on television and things like that, than actually playing for the national team.
Do you feel that your captaincy was undermined? Do you feel that that whole Asian
Cup? I think definitely. I think Lucas Neal at that stage came to that Asian Cup not in a good state of mind because of the fact that Graham Arnold had offered him the captaincy because he didn't think, because he wasn't sure whether I was going to come to the Asian Cup or not. And then once I was at the Asian Cup, either he wasn't brave enough to tell me that I wasn't captain anymore or whatever. And I felt that Lucas Neal was sulking that whole Asian Cup through the pre-season, through the preparations for it and through the Asian Cup. And it affected other players. I think Lucas tried to undermine me. I think his priority was to be captain more because of his other activities he had off the pitch rather than actually on the pitch stuff.
There it is. Daniel Garr's been good enough to join me to have a chat about it and then explain it through for me. Welcome to you, Daniel. Thanks for your time.
No worries, Dwayne. It was enlightening, wasn't that, from Viduka, who had a fair crack. He spoke glowingly about a number of issues, but that was definitely the most revealing from a newsworthy point of view.
Yeah, it's funny how we look back on things that have happened in history and players and people don't tend to give us much at the time. Or if there is a story at the time, it tends to get denied. And then down the track, someone does an interview or someone writes a book and then their version of the real story gets told. Is this just Mark Viduka's version of the real story or is this more of a broader story?
Yeah, look, there were certainly plenty of murmurs around the time of this Asian Cup, which people will remember followed not long after, 7 months after that ultra-successful 2006 World Cup and the qualification against Uruguay in 2005. So the Golden Generation are riding a high. They then go to their first Asian Cup where, I'll be honest, they went with a lot of arrogance. They probably thought they could steamroll it. They were just about the number one team in Asia, hadn't played in the tournament before and just thought this is a bit of a cruise. And they've learned in time that it's actually a very difficult tournament to play in. And yeah, there's no doubt that egos grew out of control in that squad. We heard stories about that for years. And from Mark Viduka's point of view, Lucas Neal was one of the culprits in that respect. And I'm sure there are other players, as Viduka alluded to, who were of a similar vein, but more worried about their endorsements than the team's progress. So he says it was a big reason as to why he retired from the national team. And he didn't play too many games after that, if any, I don't think. So it's a huge claim and one that was certainly discussed around the national team and around the game for a number of years. It was hard on Graham Arnold. You have to feel sorry for him because at the time, our current Socceroos coach was very young, still learning the trade. He was inexperienced. He was basically an interim coach filling the void until the FFA eventually hired Pim Verbeek. And his credibility took a knock unfairly, I think, because of that. He just wasn't ready to run a dressing room with egos of that nature running wild. And you've got to cut him some slack in that regard. And a lot of Socceroos fans have given him a lot of stick, but he's bounced back well, the Socceroos coach. But it must have been incredibly difficult for him at the time, who wasn't ready for that job, to try and deal with that sort of drama.
How were people addressing it at the time, though? Because we often do look back and talk about something that happened in the past as to whether it's right or wrong by today's rules. And you've got to kind of put yourself in the 80s rules to be able to assess this as to what was right and wrong with players when the big money explosion came.
The only claim I remember being out in the media at that time was Viduka himself, actually, when Australia were knocked out in that tournament far earlier than anyone expected, saying afterwards, there are some players that don't want to be here. And that was it. And then Graham Arnold hit back as well, saying that everyone wants to be here, trying to defend his own position, which you can understand. And everyone else sort of kept quiet. So once Viduka said that, I think everyone was just of the opinion that the Socceroos' egos had run wild after the World Cup. The Asian Cup was a bit of a chore for them, and they thought they could go through and cruise it, basically. And really, it was players who were more interested in their own off-field careers, according to Viduka, than on-field stuff. Thankfully, things corrected themselves after that. Pim Verbeek came in, and the Socceroos did well in qualifying for the World Cup in 2010, of course, and making the final of an Asian Cup in that period as well. So things were sorted out. But it was certainly a team, that Golden Generation, that we loved. We enjoyed watching them play. They are so fond in our hearts as a football nation. But there's no doubt the egos in that team run rampant for a while.
Yeah, I reckon it was a trend in the era, whether you look across all sports. That was the era of the strut and the chest pumped out generation. Mm. And a few of those upset the older school, who thought that a few of the young people coming along in various sports were a bit too brash and extroverted. But, you know, the days of sitting in the corner of the room for 3 years to earn your say are long gone now. It might have been the case in the 80s. The interesting part to me in this as well is Mark Viduka has spoken on a rare occasion. How often does Mark Viduka get interviewed these days? It's not that often, is it?
No, not often. And even when he played, he was tough to pin down in that respect. He's not someone who enjoyed speaking that much. But the good thing about Mark Viduka is, because obviously for this interview he wanted to speak and get things off his chest, which was his direct quote, because he's not someone who enjoyed doing the media that often and speaking all that often, he didn't actually pre-prepare his answers. So when he had to speak, he would often just speak off the cuff and honestly. Whereas a lot of players, as you know, Dwayne, when they enjoy doing the media, and it's great that they do, they think about what they want to say, they rehearse their answers from time to time, and it comes out on occasion a little bit scripted. With Viduka, when he had to speak, it was always something interesting, because I think once the microphone was up, he just said what was on his mind. So he was always a good interview subject, but he's been very reclusive since. I mean, everyone's asked, where's Mark Viduka? The stories were that he was sailing around Croatia on a yacht that he has managed to buy from the millions that he accrued during his playing days. He did that for a while, and now he's running a coffee shop in Zagreb, which I dare say will end up being a tourist haven for Australian football and sporting fans in the future.
That's quite funny. Hey, before I let you go, Daniel, let's talk a wider, broader soccer world. Firstly, the EPL, where are you seeing that at right now? The championship being handed to Liverpool, or whether there any chance for the horizon to be seen in a couple of weeks? Where you think that's going to end up?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to see any football being played over the next couple of months, let's be honest. And May 31 was their return date. That's not going to happen. So that's a shame. I think the hope is that in the European summer, when the temperature starts to rise, hopefully the coronavirus stats will start to drop and they can potentially resume behind closed doors. That's the hope of the authorities at the moment. They are committed at this stage to finishing off the season, which you can understand, never mind Liverpool, which is a big part of it. Yes, promotion and relegation is far more important in regards to that. They can give Liverpool the title. They're so far ahead. But for a team like Leeds, who's been battling for 15 years to make it to the Premier League, it'd be so harsh on them leading the Championship to be told the season's null and void and they can't be promoted. So there's a number of issues of a similar ilk that they want to ensure get completed, as well as the broadcast rights. It's enormous, the Premier League TV rights, and if they don't finish the season, they don't get those payments, similar to Australia. So they want to do that financially as well. At the moment, the big issue is player payments being cut, which they haven't yet done. The Premier League players, who earn a fortune, and they are being criticised for that enormously, as are clubs like Liverpool and Tottenham, who have basically applied for a similar scheme to the job seeker scheme in Australia, which means that the taxpayer is paying their player salaries. They put a lot of staff basically out to pasture at the moment, but they're still being paid. But they've applied for the scheme, which means that the taxpayer is fitting the bill for that, which has not gone down well. So that's a big controversy at the moment.
And on our home front, the A-League, we're going to just see the title handed at Sydney FC. What's going to happen there? Are we going to see games?
You'd think so. You'd think they'd be handed to Sydney, but to be honest, they've got a bigger issue right now, and that's negotiating with the broadcaster in Fox Sports as to when they get their payments, as to what Fox wants to do with the TV rights deal. It's a big dilemma at the moment. I mean, there's been wide reports that Fox wants to get out of the deal. What does the FFA do in that regard? Financially, it would hit them hard, but at the same time, it could mean that they can finally go properly independent and the owners can run the game the way they've wanted to for a while. But that would obviously hit them hard on the bottom line. So until they get back up and running, it's a big dilemma for them right now. The smallest issue for them is what they do with the title and who they hand it to. They'd like to finish the season, but we just don't know when that's going to be possible in Australia. So they've got to work out the legalities of the broadcast deal first, I think, and that's certainly the most pertinent issue for the FFA, these negotiations with Fox, which I dare say are very tense.
Yeah, it's going to be a pretty crowded October, November, even maybe December, if you think that we've got, you know, Fox Footy with the AFL, Fox League with the NRL. Cricket is going to be front and centre again, and the NBL will want a little piece of the action as well at some stage. So, yeah, it's going to be a pretty crowded sports environment. Hey, great to be able to tap into your brain, Daniel. Always good to talk some soccer with you. I love you as a broadcaster, so keep on keeping on. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Dwayne. Appreciate it. All the best.
Daniel Garb joining me. 1-300-736-736. If you are a soccer fan or a footy fan, and you can think back, if you're a soccer fan, to those Mark Viduka, Lucas Neal days, or anything that you'd like to discuss in the world of sport, 1-300-736-736. Take your calls for about the next 10 minutes. Sam Edmund, SEN's chief reporter for Illusion. Gas Log Fires, clearing all current stock right now, illusionfires.com, to talk to me more about the situation that might be seen in the AFL world in a couple of months' time, where we have three separate hubs of isolation with six teams in each hub and all those six teams playing each other once. 1-300-736-736. Speckled text coming through as well. I got over the non-crowds surprisingly quickly in round one, and I found the shorter games fast and entertaining. Nick in Boleyn, thanks for your text. Government never originally stopped the AFL or the NRL. Those organisations made their own decisions based on their thoughts on political correctness. Dwayne, can see major sports competitions starting up again, but I can't see any local sports starting this season. Adam, thanks for your text as well. And another one. Last month of your program has been fantastic. It's been essential listening, especially the Matt Keenan isolation diaries. Hope he is on more. I hope to get him on more as well. Alex, thanks for your text. Can't wait to get out for the piano bar as well. Alex, nice little thought from you. I'll buy you one next time the piano bar can get crowds in. Speaking of which, jump on the line now, 0433981116 or 1-300-736-736. We're not far away from playing a little bit of What's Open. If your small or medium-sized business is open, employing, running, chance for you to give your business a plug. We'll do that as well in the next 15 minutes. So plenty still to come on Dwayne's World.